Yes, we are back. We are back. I don't know why I get pumped every time it's time for Digital Life. That's not to say that I don't get pumped during Sunday morning show, but the pump is different. You get what I'm saying? You feel me?
Well, for you, if it's different for you,
then Emmanuel, why are you wearing a tracksuit today?
Man, I had the...
Are you running from the enemy?
Not enemy.
From spiritual forces? Because I don't understand what is... You should see him clad in white and white Legos.
Oh, man. I feel heavily this morning. Shout out to Lammy. Shout out to Lou. You know, I had a very fun-filled night having tech conversation, even the morning, you know, having really tech conversation, brainstorming, you know, on things that are the future of things, man. Nigeria doesn't know what's coming for it. I really had a glimpse of the future.
And that's why we're here, right?
Yeah, that's why we're here, you know. And we're bringing it to you. So stay pumped, stay tuned to Digital Life at 99.3 Nigeria Info. My name is Emmanuel Onwuka, and I am Yvonne Ohaifo, hold it down here every Sunday from 11 to 12, telling you everything you need to know about technology and the digital way life is going right now. You know, we're no longer doing analog things. Now, why I'm happy this morning and why it's such a lovely morning for every one of us, you know, there's a challenge. A lot of people have taken to social media platform Twitter and expressed, you know, their displeasure over a lot of things. Their accounts being hacked. You know, some time ago we said we had the conversation about Jack Ma, you know, and how all techies were leaving the country and, you know, the implication on so many companies and
especially banks. Right.
And now it seems like we're having those repercussions. It feels like, you know, those things we said, those things that we predicted on the show are actually coming to pass.
Emmanuel, so can we say that we are prophets? Where's my shepherd?
Professor Doom.
Emmanuel, is that why you are clad in white?
Man, I'm in my heavenly gesture. I'm not happy, but then, you know, it's something we've said. You know, at that very point in time, we actually reached out and we actually told a lot of persons that, hey, this is what needs to be done at that point in time. Look for younger persons, look for newer persons, you know, tell them, give them all the scope they need to increase the prices, you know, increase the offers you dish out to
just
your tech guys.
Make working for them very enjoyable.
You know, so that they can remain in the companies, because right now it seems like a lot of banks especially, you know, are having a lot of issues. You know, go to Twitter and people keep complaining about how they were ripped off from their bank accounts,
right,
you know.
That's right, Emmanuel. And speaking about Twitter, man, I read the most horrific stories this week.
Man.
Last week, because we're in a new week. Emmanuel, did you see the story of the lady that said that she lost 450,000 naira?
Oh, that was the one you saw? I saw the one of 6 million naira. Her life savings.
My goodness.
One million out of her account.
So if our monies are not safe in the banks, where then can our monies be safe?
You see? That's a question. You know, that's a question we're out here. And you see, they keep saying that there's a glitch. A glitch with the apps, a glitch with the ATMs. You know, these issues are just there. They keep piling and piling and piling. But the thing is that we said it on the show. We said it over and over and over again that there's an implication for people leaving the country, and everybody should brace up, especially companies. There's going to be a full... hackers are going to have a field day if people are not careful. And
which is why it is important that you pay attention to the kind of information you disclose on your phone, Lagos. This is important. Emmanuel, how many times have we discussed cybersecurity on the show?
So many times. We talked about two-step authentication.
That's right.
We talked about phishing emails. We talked about we talked about so many things on how you can protect yourself. Now
it is
a
important.
Lot of people, you know, are in that dilemma right
in
now.
In fact, we are about to discuss cybersecurity again. Is that right?
Exactly.
Because look, we don't want your monies to leave your account. Okay, so we would love for you to pay attention as we discuss this pressing issue right now. We have joining us Goodness Okpani. Is that right, Emmanuel?
Yes, Goodness Okpani joins us right now. Goodness Okpani is a cybersecurity analyst, and he's going to join us on the show right now to actually have a very insightful conversation as to the issues that are presently happening, you know, in Nigeria. Of course, you know, all the banks, it's most banks. I've not heard about some banks, you know, but most banks, there have been a lot of complaints. We know it's a normal trend for us to have glitches in bank apps, glitches in bank services, but this one is just so much. It's even worse than it was before. Goodness, are you here with us? Can you hear us?
Yes, I can hear you, Emmanuel.
Good
Welcome,
morning.
Welcome, goodness. Welcome to the show. Good morning.
Good morning, Emmanuel. Good morning, Yvonne. Thank you for having me on the platform.
It's a pleasure to have you here.
Yes, thank
so
you
goodness,
very much.
Let's start from the fact. What is actually happening? Did our prediction come to pass, or you think it's something different?
Well, like Yvonne said, you are a prophet, so I want to even start tapping into your prophecy. Yes. So, but then again, we saw this coming. I mean, in the whole digital tech space, we all saw this coming. The lack of skill sets within the digital space. We saw the lack of economy. We saw the lack of provision of, you know, higher salaries for these people who are very, very, the ones who are skilled. And then they saw the greener side of things on the outside, and they had to just move. Now, the movement has begun to cause lots and lots of disruptions here, right back here in Nigeria. So we are now seeing more and more people who are skilled, who are managing this technology infrastructure. And because of the gap in the skill set of both in the technology infrastructure and in cybersecurity, a lot and lot of issues are happening around all the digital platforms that the banks and other companies, of course, are using. And we're going to see more of this as we go along. That's just the truth.
Oh,
that's the reality.
Are you saying it's going to get worse than what we have,
yes,
have presently? It's already worse where we are.
Yes, so I can tell you it's going to get worse.
So in other words, the pressure is about to get worse.
I can tell you.
Okay.
I can tell you. It's coming.
Goodness, let's talk about the recent trends on Twitter, especially regarding missing monies from accounts. Let's talk about that. How possible is it? And I'm just asking this question like a dummy because I'd like for the listeners to really understand that it is actually possible. How possible is it for your accounts, your personal accounts, your bank accounts to, you know, be hacked and for your monies to just develop legs and walk away?
Yeah, so, you know, we have always told organizations that there are two types of organizations. You know, before we used to say there are two types of organizations, the one that have been hacked and the one that will soon be hacked. But in recent times, we're telling organizations there are actually two types of organizations in cybersecurity.
Okay.
The ones that know that they have been hacked and the ones that don't know that they have been hacked. In both instances, both of them have been hacked. Just that one knows and the other doesn't. And we see that just about every single bank or financial organization or player in the financial ecosystem has had at one point or another had a scenario of hack. It could be a major or it could be a minor. The truth is that we see this happen within our Nigeria ecosystem. I mean, within the regulation, because CBN is the one that regulates this financial sector.
Mm-hmm.
There is really no regulation, just like we have it in the UK or in the US, any other Western countries. There is really no specific law that stipulates that organizations will have to announce or make a public announcement that, look, so and so has happened to us. We have been under constant hack and we're making this known to the public. It is not here in Nigeria. So you find that most organizations, when they have a case of a hack, either by external or even internal factors, because again, we have seen more and more proliferation of people who are internally in the bank who are actually causing these hacks to happen. These things are not made public. So they just find a way to just cover it up and then use system glitch or other sweet words of PR to just cover it up. I mean, we see this happen. So, yes, hacks are currently happening. It is getting higher every day. We are monitoring the cyberspace. And, of course, we see this happen across the different organizations that we are monitoring.
Wow. You see, when you say that people should come up and own up to the responsibility or own up to that they've been hacked or they are experiencing a hack, you know, does it in any way affect their credibility
and their business as a whole?
You know, what are the implications of someone actually admitting that they've, you know, encountered a hack?
Well, you see, again, and that's maybe I would not blame them entirely because, you know, we in Africa, Nigeria, and of course, Africa, the whole, we have this element, we have this culture. Again, it's a culture, it's a mindset change that whenever an organization has declared, we have had a hack, so-and-so, within a so-and-so period, I mean, the first thing that will come on everybody's mind, let me go and take my small change, even the one that has like 500 naira.
Yeah, of course, that 500 naira is money, goodness.
Let me rush it down. Withdraw my money. So And again, that's just a typical caution. So again, that's the reason why organizations that we see in Nigeria are very, very hesitant to declare these things. And this is like, the truth is that if you go, I mean, we don't have the kind of money that the Western organizations have, Western countries, the banks that we have, the Barclays Bank, HSBC, American, Bank of America. These ones, they, of course, they have a lot, much, much more money than us here. But from time to time, by law, by regulation, and even by their own very nature, they declare that, oh, between so-so time to so-so time, we experienced so-and-so hack. We saw it coming from so-so-and-so place, but we have taken steps to rectify the problem, and all depositors' monies are all intact and so-so. No, that kind of press notice, we see that happening from time to time. But here in Nigeria, because of this culture, because of this Nigerian mentality, that people will just rush in and go and withdraw their monies and everything will go down, your credibility will go down the drain. That's why they are most times always hesitant to come out to this press notice.
Goodness, is it possible for bankers to access the accounts, the personal accounts of their customers, and possibly steal money from them within the same space?
Well, the way the system, I mean, again, in the past, you can see we're just one single actor who is within the internal space carrying out this kind of hack. But with the technological advancement right now within the banking sector, it's really, really hard. So you find that for a hack to happen, especially when it's coming from the inside, insider fraud, it takes one or two or three or more people working from different departments to collude for that particular hack to happen.
Wow.
Right? Because we are now having different process flows have now been broken down. So you have like a maker checker process, that's what it's called in the bank right now, where not only just one person starts a process and finishes it up. Okay, so you have a person from IT starting the process, then it goes to internal control, internal audit, so something like that. These are main departments that you have in different banks. So for a hack to happen, especially when it's coming from the inside, you at the end of the day, after proper investigation and forensic analysis, we find that it's always a collusion of one or more, or even up to more actors, even all the way from the top, sometimes colluding together to ensure that this act was actually propagated and it was successful, so to say. It's always a collusion. It's not just one person that does this.
Goodness, I asked that question because if you've been following the trend on Twitter, a lady put out a cry for help, so to speak, of how she had lost her cards, you know, her wallet containing her ATM cards. You know, she had tried to contact her bank to block the card. She had encountered a lot of palaver just trying to get the bank to block the account, right? And then at the end of the day, you know, she realized that money just kept leaving her account. It started with 50,000 naira, then from there to 100,000 naira, and someone else was actually using her account. So someone else had access to her account, and after doing some investigations, she found out that the person who was making those transfers was actually someone working in that bank, possibly her account officer.
Well, you see that there are so many stories out there. So many stories. We even saw a video of a man going to the bank, you know, and staging an issue at the bank. You know, and one of the things that really gets to me is how these bankers, you know, the customer care service, how they respond to you when you go to the bank and then tell them that you have an issue.
That's a good one.
You see, there's no empathy. It's just like a norm for them. But you have to treat everybody different. You have to treat everybody different. When someone complains about a hack, the first thing you have to do is defend. No. You try to understand the situation of things without making it seem like the person is the culprit. It's not every time. I know systems can be, you know, foolproof. System can't even be foolproof. Am I right? Goodness. Systems can't be foolproof.
Yeah, of course. A system that is 100% secure is a system that has not been created.
Goodness, how is it possible to just, you know, 1 minute, and this is a regular occurrence that even I have experienced, right? 1 minute you check your account, you have a certain amount in it. The next minute you check your account, a certain amount has been deducted from that account. And I'm not talking 100 naira or 200, I'm not talking about that, I'm talking about thousands, so... I'm talking about thousands of naira. Someone even put out another tweet saying that, you know, that... No, the same lady said that her alert was disabled. So she wasn't even getting alert of what was happening. She did not get an SMS alert. You know how you would now when you receive a credit alert or a debit. She did not get any of those things. And that has happened to me before. You know, I wouldn't have known that money had been deducted from account, from my account, if I hadn't logged on into the app, logged into my account to check what was going on there. But thankfully, in my case, the money was then reversed almost immediately.
Okay, so goodness, we try to look out for solutions. Okay, so while we have so much problems all around us, let's focus right now on solutions. What can we do at this point in time?
Mm-hmm. Starting with banks, what can banks do at this point?
At this very point in time.
All right. It's good to start with banks, but again, you want to look at all the players in this ecosystem, the users, the regulator.
Yeah, yeah. So we start with the banks. We're going full circle.
Okay. So the banks, for example, all right, they want to create.
Hello, goodness, are you there?
A system of enshrining cyber. They want to create a system of enshrining cybersecurity as not just a tick in the box affair. Because right now, what the banks are doing currently is that they're approaching cybersecurity as a tick in the box. So because CBN, for example, tells them that they must implement some cybersecurity measures. They just implement it because they know that three times in a year, CBN comes to come and carry out an audit. So they just put things in place hurriedly. And when the CBN does their audit and moves on, they move on with their own life. Cybersecurity is really not a business as usual for them. They focus more on making the returns, making their profits, rather than focusing on ensuring that cybersecurity is a business as usual, especially from the top. So top cybersecurity lead, the business owners would want to bring cybersecurity conversations on their table. For every single business idea,
Hello? Gideon, are you still with us?
Hello, goodness. Can you hear us?
Did I call him Gideon?
Single decision making that is going to happen with the cybersecurity. Yeah, sorry, I don't know if you missed me out.
Yes, goodness, you sort of went off at some point. Can you backtrack a bit, please?
Yes. Sorry about that. So I was saying that the business owner.
Oh dear.
What is wrong with the connection? Hello.
As business owners must be able to bring cybersecurity. Hello, can you hear me now?
Yes, we can hear you. Go ahead, please, goodness.
Okay, so I said business owners should be able to bring cybersecurity conversations on the top of burning issues on the table. Whenever they want to make any decision making, whenever they want to make any business decisions that concerns their business, one of the first things...
Oh, God. Not this conversation. We don't need this right now. We're still going to try and get goodness back on the line.
Goodness is still connected, but we just cannot hear him anymore.
So why we wait for goodness to join us?
He's back.
Hello, goodness, are you there? Hello, can you hear us?
Yes, I'm here. I know I'm having serious issues right now.
Are you sure you're not going to climb on a tree or a mountain top?
So if the business owners and they must be able to bring those cybersecurity conversations at the top, but like burning issues before every decision making, before every business idea comes into play, they must be able to ask themselves, what are the cybersecurity implications for every business decision we want to make? Do we want to acquire a new system? Do we want to develop a new application? Do we want to acquire a new business process? What exactly are going to be the implications? Do the risk and assessment, do the risk analysis before they start out. So this is supposed to be at the start, not at the end. So that's always the problem. So business owners always start with implementing a new business idea, a new business process, then think about cybersecurity at the end of the process. No, this is supposed to start at the beginning, at the point where we're starting the requirements gathering, the business analysis, before we start implementing. That's where cybersecurity is supposed to be discussed. Especially for organizations.
Let's talk about what customers themselves can do. We've talked about it extensively on the show, but let us echo it again. You know, especially as these matters have arisen, you know, let's talk about some of the ways that customers, you know, bankers or users of these banks can ensure that their monies are safe in their accounts.
Yeah, so there's this thing that we normally preach to organizations. So what we call it, the cybersecurity hygiene. There's a typical way you carry out hygiene. You wake up in the morning, you brush your teeth, you put a deodorant, you bathe, you know, this kind of specific things. These are things that for some people, it's just the normal thing they want to do. We call this cybersecurity hygiene, especially for people who use some of these technology platforms, whether it's a banking app, your internet banking platform, your social media, whatever it is. You want to ensure that, especially when it comes to apps, mobile apps, because that's like the nearest point of contact for every user.
Right.
You want to ensure that you have proper cybersecurity hygiene for both your device that you are using and also for the your access into those applications. You want to be able to enable 2FA. You want to be able to be sure that you don't share those passwords. Because, you know, when we talk about these things that happen, you know, sometimes even customers don't even know that their wife, you see, we have done an analysis. A man who came reported in the bank and the customer came shouting up and down. We don't know that it was actually the wife that got a hold of his card and was withdrawing the money.
Yeah.
And he was saying it is the bank that was withdrawing the money.
So it was a husband and wife matter. Okay.
It was a family affair. You know, that was their family problem. So again, sharing a password. We're not saying that we should not, I'm not saying here a husband should not share their wife with their password. I'm just saying that you just want to be aware of whom you are sharing
your stuff with.
Exactly. So who are those? And if you share it to the person, is the person also sharing it to another person? You know, that kind of thing. You just have to be very, very careful. And maybe from time to time, rotate your password. So change it. All right. So these are passwords. You want to be able to change it. I mean, look for another random password that is only known to you and change it. There are other various specific things that you can do, especially for yourself. We can put all of them in a cyber, we call it a cyber hygiene checklist, especially for users who access these sensitive platforms for carrying out financial transactions, especially for the users.
How do people unknowingly give out their account details?
That's a good one.
You know, because I reached out to someone who is a banker. He has years of experience in banking, you know, and I told him about these issues that's currently happening, you know, to banks. And this was his reply to me. He said it's an industry-wide issue and it involves customers compromising their account credentials or fall for various greed scams. Our system is watertight and has not been hacked. Customers unknowingly give out their account details and their account is illegally accessed. So how do customers unknowingly give out their account details?
Yeah, so I just gave you, I mean, a typical example of a husband and a wife. So I would just...
Is there another one? You know, for single people, thank you.
Yeah, I like that. So I mean, for you can go to today. You have people who will say, okay, can you help me to do something? Can you help me to log onto a platform? You have people who go to ATM and say, can you help me and press my PIN, for example, or can you help me and access this particular place? I don't know how to do this. You know, most times the target is always for people who are not technology savvy. They have to depend on someone else or someone
to do online purchases and stuff like that with their cards.
Exactly. And that's one. The second one is even the sites that you access. So today we have man in the middle, we call it man in the middle attacks. You have sites that are currently insecure, like your e-commerce website. And that's another thing part of the cyber security hygiene. People should be able to assess, people should be able to know the kind of sites they access. Today I see something online and I like it. I'm on social media. Oh, the hair looks very pretty. I like this one. Is it human or bone or something straight? I don't know what it's called. My wife knows all of that. So you go there and you say, okay, and they just, you see a place where it's saying purchase. You click on it and you want to purchase because you are seeing where to purchase. And of course, at the point of purchase, you have to compute your card details.
Right.
You don't know the time. Don't know anything about the site. Or you're just concerned about at that time, it's just the bone straight hair or the straight hair, whatever you're looking for. And you just impute your card details. Typically, according to the laws of PCI Council. PCI Council is the payment card industry that manages the security of cardholder details for their card debit cards. They're not supposed to store those three numbers
card
at the
details.
Back of the card details. But you see, there are some sites, the moment when you impute those details, they store it for you and you can use that. So carry out transactions on your behalf when you're not there.
So how then do you know what site is safe?
Okay, so again, typically, there is, we have, we have sites again, okay, again. There's a site from Qualys. I can't remember the full URL. They actually provide a site's SSL check for checking whether a site is safe for client transactions or not. So this is something we normally educate people from. So whenever you want to go into any site, maybe to carry out a financial transaction, mm-hmm. to pay your card, just take the URL of that site. I mean, we can drop it in that Qualys platform. It will analyze it for you and tell you, oh, this site is safe for you to carry out a financial transaction or not.
Please say the platform again. What platform did you call it?
It's a Qualys SSL check. I can just maybe send it to him.
Can you spell?
Okay, Qualys is spelled Qualys.
Okay.
Qualys.
Okay. Before we go to the phone lines, I would just like to ask you this question. You see, there are lots of mobile numbers out there, and your BVN is attached to each mobile number. I'm correct, right?
That's right.
Yeah.
That's
so right. Now there's something that they do, these telcos do. I've heard them say it's called recycling, you know, of numbers.
Right.
And these numbers remain attached to your BVN. Is this possible? Yeah. Can this give access to undue persons? I just want to be clear about this. How does this work? Are you familiar with what I've just asked?
Yeah, so, typically, even with your BVN, you know, like I mentioned to you, they actually, you know, the banks have implemented levels of authentication. So even with your BVN, you are still not able to carry out successful transaction as at this point, as I speak to you.
Without the authorization of the account holder?
Exactly. Mm. So I just want that to be clear, because people, there is a general misconception that once a person has a BVN, you're able to carry out transactions. Please, that's not true.
Okay.
All right. So there have been technology advancements in that particular instance, and you cannot be able to do that. However, this recycling you have mentioned, again, when this BVN was introduced into the market by NIBS and all, one of the things that was mentioned is that for every time, and that's a synergy that you have when you have systems that are not talking to each other, which is one of the major issues we have in Nigeria. We have people building systems, but the systems are all running in silos. And whenever there is a change in somebody's system, it is not automatically updated in the other. So you have telcos who are building up their own numbers, and they're supposed to be syncing it with BVN. So BVN numbers, which are residing with NIBS. NIBS is building their own system of all the BVNs.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever a person's number is recycled, automatically, from their NIBS own side, they're supposed to understand that, okay, this number has been removed from this particular person, and so that BVN has to be detached or something like that. But if that thing does not, these things don't happen. In Nigeria, we'll constantly have these people, systems running in silos, which is why we'll continue to have these issues that we're going to have. If we can achieve this collaboration, this integration within systems for constantly updating the systems or the databases, for example, in this case, between what the BVN managed by NIBS on one hand and the telcos managing their own numbers, this kind of issues will not be happening.
Goodness, we'll have to go to the phone lines. Now, before you walk us through practical step-by-step approach to keeping our details safe so that so that our listeners can remain, you know, secure online, and of course their accounts and monies stay safe. If you'd like to be a part of the conversation, call us on 0700-993-993-993. If you have a question, your money has ever somehow, you know, magically or not left your account, and you've always wondered why, how did it happen?
With emphasis on the magic.
With emphasis on the magic. If you've ever gone through something like that, call us on 0700-993-993-993. Let's hear from you. Have you followed our guest's conversation? Do you understand all that he has said? Do you have questions for him? Call us on 0700-993-993-993. You can also call us on 01465-7190. Or leave us a message on WhatsApp 080-959-75805. Hello.
Hello, good morning.
Good morning. Welcome to the show. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Esther is calling, please.
What?
Esther,
oh, Madam Esther. Go ahead. Go ahead, Esther.
Okay. Oh, I think I'm so happy for the explanation your guest there I have been telling us, you know, delivering to us since he just started. So what I want to ask is this, you know, I went to POS to collect some money.
Mm-hmm.
And then when the lady put in my ATM inside the POS,
mm-hmm.
she now started typing something in her phone. And I was telling her, you don't have to make use of your phone when my ATM card is right under your phone.
Mm.
And she was arguing with me. I want to ask your guest if that is also a security risk.
Okay.
Number two is concerning my GoTV, because I know it's digital. I was watching it. All of a sudden, it went blank and it said no signal. Is that problem from digital or from their company or from wherever? Or who is that operating it and then I cannot watch it again?
Well, Madam... Madam Mesa, that's most likely a, what do you call it, glitch. Now, the antenna just needs to be repositioned.
No, I tried everything. It refused to click.
Ah, okay. Maybe you should visit your GoTV provider, okay. Just go to them and tell them what is going on. Perhaps the GoTV is tired. Maybe the thing has packed up.
Or maybe it wants a new decoder.
Or maybe that too. Maybe you need a new decoder or something. So okay, just go to your provider and talk to them. Okay, lay that complaint
okay.
there.
Thank
yes,
you.
All the best. Just stay glued to the show. We'll have Goodness join us again to tell us about to answer some of your questions. 0700-993-993-993. You can also call us 01465-7190. Hello.
Hello.
Welcome to the show. What's your name? Where are you calling from? Oh, I'm so sorry. Call us back when you can, okay? Hello.
Hello.
Welcome to the show. What's your name? Where are you calling from? This is Digital Life.
Okay, my name is Kibaba.
Kibaba,
I'm calling from Mangodo.
Kibaba, go ahead.
Okay, interesting your topic of discussion today.
Thank you.
And I want to salute the guests that you brought in.
Thank
and
you.
Also the other man in the studio.
Emmanuel, thank you.
Talk about basically is literally an input that can help safeguard the users. Something happened to me yesterday. Lost my phone, and I knew everything I've been taken away.
That line isn't clear enough. Can you call us back, please? Call us back so that we can hear you clearly. The connection, there's something wrong with it. It seems to be,
It's just going up and they're just popping
off.
Sounds
yes,
from it.
Yes. 0700-993-993-993. Goodness, welcome back to the show. So one of our callers just talked about her POS wahala, that she went to a POS stand, you know, to perform a transaction. And the lady, the attendant, first of all, let me confirm that Goodness can hear me. Goodness, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Fantastic. Fantastic. So this woman called a short while ago and talked about how, you know, she had gone to this POS stop to perform a transaction, had given her card to the attendant, and then the lady was busy punching something on her phone, you know, and that got her the hair on her head, you know, to attention. And she you know, started chiding the lady for doing that, and now she wants to find out if it's possible for her money to leave her account through the POS channel.
Yes, absolutely. This is possible. Again, like we mentioned, every single point of contact for carrying out your financial solutions, once it is compromised, that becomes an issue. So in this instance, the compromise is not coming from the POS itself, but from the person that is managing it. So because you are able to, for example, swiping your card and the person is collecting your cardholder details, because the real point of the matter is your cardholder details. That's that's 10 digit number in front and the number at the back, and of course your PIN as a second level of authentication, which is going to either see you do it, she's able to carry out that transaction. Today, as I speak to you, they are what they call key loggers. Keyloggers are like very minute device, thin foils that are put under the keypads of both POSs or ATMs today that people use to be able to read people's inputs like PIN. So at the moment when you're typing your PIN, it is going, the keylogger is reading all of the different PINs that people have been typing over time, mashing into the cardholder informations, and they can use to go online and carry out financial transactions or move money wherever they want to move. And that's the reason why, as part of audit checks that we normally do or assessments normally do, we carry out assessments for even ATMs and POSs that merchants or people that use POSs of different banks. That's like a standard that all the banks will carry out for most of the banks. And we, from time to time, when we carry this assessment out across a sample of different ATM stands or POS machines, we find occurrence of people using keyloggers to get vital information of people that come there to come and carry out transactions.
So how then can people who access, you know, who use POS machines for a lot of their transactions, as opposed to going, walking a long distance to the banks, how then can they make sure, can they, you know, be safe? How then can they stay safe? What can they do?
Yeah, so and that's something I also do. So because typically, even me too, I like to use POSs as I guess using ATM because they are easier.
Right.
So whenever I come to an ATM,
Hello?
Goodness, are you there?
Okay, I think we should go back to the film.
Oh, he's here. Goodness, hold on a second. Please backtrack a bit. We lost your train of thought.
Okay. So I was saying that this are typically what we normally, what even I do.
Right.
Wow. Okay.
Goodness.
Whenever I go to carry to network issues again.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. I think
you may want to go to that hilltop. Go to that hilltop or the tree.
I am approaching the top of the hill right now.
Fantastic.
All right, let's
Why we wait for goodness to get to the hill. Hello.
Hello. Good morning. Can you hear us?
Goodness, please hold on. We're taking calls now.
Hello, good morning. Your name and where are you calling from?
Good morning. This is Damilola. I'm calling back again.
Okay,
go ahead, Damilola.
Okay, yeah, so first of all, happy Cybersecurity Awareness Month. Your guest has done a really great job. So I would like to contribute to one aspect that I see maybe a challenge moving forward.
Go ahead,
with the current trend of the JAPA movement, a lot of Nigerians are most likely going to have to drop their numbers. I don't think they should. I'll give you a case scenario. So there was a woman who relocated, and her number got recycled. So the person that started using her number started receiving SMS from her bank and pension. So, of course, knowing fully well that the account balance was heavy because the HNI, high net worth individual, what the guy did was he now called in to the financial institution to answer some security questions, right? So that she was also able to tap into her email address. So gradually, the guy started changing security questions to get access to bulk money. At the last minute, the financial institution tapped into that and was able to block it. So what I'm just trying to say is that I think something needs to be done. And your guest talked about that touch point between the BGN and between the banks and the telcos. It's very important. And also, from the consumer's point of view, I don't think once you're relocated, you throw that number away. I think worst case scenario, if you're not using that number, you should give it to your family member and then do some sort of change of ownership.
Right.
So I think that's a security challenge moving forward.
Thank you very much.
If you remember, there was a situation about 2020. In 2020, we had someone arrested by the DSS because he was using the phone number of one of the president's daughters' previous phone numbers. So it was a recycled phone number. And you see, he didn't know the person that had previously used it. So but you see the situation. So it goes down that recycled phone numbers have to be treated very, very sensitive.
Indeed,
like, it's a very sensitive...
Indeed, and what Damilola just said took me back to something that happened to me. A similar thing happened to me. So I had lost my phone it was a burglary. This person broke into our home and stole my phone, you know. And then what I failed to do at that point after getting a new phone and getting a new phone was to retrieve that line. I did not retrieve the number and I did not go to the bank.
Oh, to change
the number, okay? Do change of ownership, as Damilola has just said. So this thief who had acquired my phone and SIM card used that number to deduct money from my account via
USSD.
So he would use my number to buy airtime.
Mm.
I'm talking airtime of 5,000, 10,000, and I will get the alerts. Because again, remember that I did not block off that number. I just went and added a new phone number.
Wow.
So that was a problem. Lagos, learn from my experience.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, this is life and this happened to me. So if you're changing a number, for example, go to your bank and make sure that that number is not what is still connected to your account, okay? Otherwise, goodness is back. Goodness, welcome back. You were talking about the POS.
Yes, yes. I'm sorry for that incident that happened to you.
Thank you, goodness.
So I was talking about the POS, and I was saying that typically, even when I go to go and carry out transactions using POS, one of the things I like to look at is the provider of that POS machine. So what bank, whether it's a bank or the service provider, right? Where it is coming from. I always also like to look at the keypad. So if you, just a simple look at it, you're able to understand if something is fishy or not. Believe me, we're not saying that this is like where you find people installing key loggers on their PSEs like the exception. You're not going to see that just anywhere. Of course, yeah, you're going to see that very remote places in people who are trying to who have bad or ill intentions.
Hmm.
Right. So just take a very, very simple look at the keypad under the machine and just about everywhere. Just take a very good look at the machine just to make sure that it is there.
But the problem is that how many of these POS attendants will let you look at their machine?
No. They do. Believe me, if you want to do that, you can do that.
Okay.
If they don't allow you to do that, that's a red flag that something is fishy.
Hmm.
Please take note of that. If they don't allow you to do that, that's, in fact, it is a mandatory thing for people, you as a user, to examine the POS machine that you want to use. It's actually a mandatory thing coming all the way from CBN as a regulation. So please take note of that.
Okay, fantastic.
So not allow you to look at here. We're not saying he's going to try to open the same POS machine or anything. No, just taking a very simple cursory look at the POS machine. And just try to figure out whether it's still okay, whether it has not been tampered with, because that's the POS tampering we're talking about.
Okay. Emmanuel, do we have a message?
Yeah. Next segment is on us, but we're just going to take a few more messages and then take a few calls and then we'll go. This message is coming and say, very good morning to you, Emmanuel and Yvonne. Happy Sunday to you. This is Austin from Igboleri. He says, I'm tech security conscious and savvy, but about 3 months ago, I received a call from an unknown number. The call lasted for about 2 seconds and dropped without a single word being said. I called back numerous times to no avail. I chat the number up on WhatsApp, no DP, no name, no response. As I speak, I can't make or receive calls with that phone number. The network providers have repeatedly told me that nothing is wrong with my line, yet no changes. This number is tied to all my accounts. Should I be worried? What are the implications and what should I do?
From my own personal account, from my own personal opinion, you should be very worried. But let's hear from Goodness, the specialist.
Well, I am still trying to understand what really happened between you. Without doubt, was a spiritual encounter that you had. Spiritual encounter, but then again, like you said, Yvonne, that you're right. You have to really, really be worried. The fact that your number has been tied to your bank does not necessarily mean that anything is going to happen. All right.
Mm.
So what I would just recommend at a point in time is that you just change your passwords, change your PIN on your phone itself, change your passwords on your bank app, your mobile app, your internet banking. Just rotate your passwords around all of these platforms that you're using for carrier financial transactions and wait. And well, we hope for the best.
All right, let's take
Okay, we have a question here before you go. Goodness,
before I take more calls.
He says, what will you be looking for when you look at when you ask them to look at observed or rather inspect the POS machine? You know why they're at it. You know, but what specifically are they looking out for, or should they be looking out for?
You're looking at tampering specifically. So, you take up your phone, for example. I mean, the device you're using, you should be able to determine whether somebody has opened your phone because you see some elements of tampering on any device that you have. So once you just take a look at it, we're not saying it's so deep or start to do as if, just take a simple look at it. You're able to determine whether tampering has been done on that machine. Believe me, if a key logger is installed on that machine, you are going to see evidence of that.
Okay.
You're going to see evidence of that on that machine.
Okay, let's take another call. Hello. Hello.
Hello.
Welcome to the show. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
My name is Ben. I'm calling from Abuja.
Oh, thank you so much for listening all the way from Abuja. What's
I always
question?
Do.
Thank you so much, ma'am.
Yvonne, how are you?
I'm very well, thank you, ma'am.
I wanted to ask your guest.
Right.
Is there any way CBN can like track these POS machines? So that if something is like a fraud, you know, when people take your card, I was in a bank one day, a woman was complaining. I think the son took her card or something, or somebody took your card to a POS agent. How can the bank trace the particular one? I know it's possible. And why are they not doing it?
Thank you very much for that
Good
question.
Good morning.
Good morning.
You're welcome.
Goodness, did you hear her?
Yes, I heard her. Well, again, it is possible. CBN will not be the ones to do that, unless the bank that is going to do that. But again, it always starts with when you raise the case up. All right? When you have to go to the customer care and go and raise the case up. You have to give the specific area where it happened and the incident has happened, and then they will help you to be able to start that investigation. I know this thing takes time. Oh, yes, believe me, that's a Nigerian factor. But believe me, too, they actually have banks, and we have customer care who have proper internal control investigations into cases like that, because for them too, whenever there is a fraudulent incident like that, it's also going to affect them. So believe me, they are also on top of matters like this, and they will help you.
Fantastic. I have a question. Goodness, I don't know if you work in a bank, but I'd like to ask why it takes forever for a wrong debit to be reversed. I don't know why. So usually when you perform a transaction at an ATM stand, for example, right, and the ATM you're using is not the one that your bank, you know, say for instance, you're not using a GT ATM because you use you bank with GT Bank. So you take your card to another bank, for instance, and then you perform a transaction and something happens, you know, usually the banks say that it would take 24 hours for what that transaction to be reversed if it failed, but it doesn't always happen like that. Why?
Well, I think the first answer that comes to mind is always the Nigerian factor. But then again, you see, for every single transaction that happens, and that's why we call them, that's always our major problem in Nigeria. It's not that we don't have good systems, but that these systems are residing in silos. Every single time you carry out a transaction from your POS or from the ATM, you have one or two or three more different systems from different banks or financial institutions that are coming together to make that transaction successful. So we call, for example, when you use you use your card from a financial institution on an ATM that is not from a financial institution, you now have three different systems that are going to work. We call that a not on us transaction, something like that. So what that means is that if there is an issue, the first thing that is going to happen is that you're going to carry out that investigation to determine where is the point of failure, whether it's from them, whether it's from the switching company, whether it's from the aggregator, or whether it's from the acquirer bank. So you see, there are various systems. And because most of these systems are running very, very, they say they're integrated, but in reality, they are just a very, very partial integration. They're still running clearly in silos. The systems are not automated, so to say. You will have this slowness in response.
Okay.
So until we achieve that high level of efficiency in integration and automation, you are still going to be having this backlog of responses from
incidents. Fantastic. I hope I've been able to speak the mind of one listener out there. And I hope goodness has been able to answer that question for you, okay? Let's move on now. Hello.
Hello, can you hear us?
Yeah, hello. Afternoon, sir.
Yes, good morning. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
My name is Kenneth from Ogun State, sir.
Welcome, Kenneth. What's your question?
My question is that the last caller called asked that something like all this fraud. It happened to me recently that I lost my phone, that someone stole my phone, and then from there, that was on Friday night. Before I discovered on Saturday morning, I found out that they have already withdrawn all my money. And then I went to the bank and then complained that how can this possible? And then they make all this assessment, they work on it, and then at the end of the day, they said that they can't do anything. And now I'm talking about 200,000 naira. Up to today now, I don't have positive answer from the bank. So what can someone do about all this situation?
Kenneth, I'll just tell you from the top of my head, it's to continue engaging the bank, honestly, because some of these issues is not something that you can do on your own, and it's not something the cybersecurity expert can do it. Goodness, am I speaking your mind?
Yes, absolutely.
So it's for you to keep engaging the bank. That's how you get the solution. It might take a while, but certainly I'm positive, you know, that the money will be refunded to
it
you.
It shouldn't really take a while, honestly. Because, I mean, these people
just like Goodness said,
it's
the Nigerian factor.
Unfortunately.
Yeah.
Hello.
Hello, can you hear us? Good morning.
Good morning, I can hear you, yeah.
Okay. So, what's your name? Where are you calling from? What question do you have for us?
Can you hear me?
Hello, can you hear us?
Yes, I can hear you.
Yes, please go ahead. Good morning. Yes, I can hear you.
Oh, sorry about that, darling. Call back if you can, okay?
Hello, good morning. Can you hear us?
Hello.
Yes, good morning.
Yeah, good morning. Cole is my name from Bagada. I think that from my own personal experience, ATM card issuance platforms of banks appear to be one of the places this problem we are discussing today get compromised. For instance, some of the banks, I just don't know whether to mention the name of one of them, for instance, on top of the place there in the bank, maybe their tables and so on, they'll be minting out cards and placing there for customers to be picking. The experience I had on one occasion, somebody sitting next to me with his head bent downwards, he was, pressing his phone. So I asked the person that was issuing the card, are you sure what this person was inputting in his phone? And I refused to take this in. They gave several explanations. I said I will not use that ATM card at all, that it must be changed. And not long ago, there was this thing on phone that people were explaining how even at POS points, they use CCTV cameras and other devices to take the numbers of people from their ATM cards without their knowing it. So I think it's important that the banks become more careful in the ways they turn out ATM cards for people that need new ones or replacement or whatever, and then just display them there. There must be a privacy policy in that case. Maybe finish it, put it in an envelope, and then deliver. Where other people are not there, other than the few persons doing that job inside that bank. Then I also think that true caller systems may help, especially if you subscribe, to detect some of these fraudulent practices. Maybe people calling on phone, there this, there that, and so on and so forth.
Thank you.
So that's
very
just
much.
The experiences I want to share. Thank you.
Thank you for your
much.
Suggestions, Dave. Yeah.
Goodness, please walk us through the step-by-step approach again, just to, you know, remind Nigerians of what to do and how to ensure that they do not, you know, make themselves vulnerable to attack. So just walk us through the steps that should be taken, and in very simple English, please. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Yvonne. So again, for users now, the focus now is on users. I would look at the steps broken down into two: before or after you have detected an incident that has happened. So before, in this instance, is first of all, create the cyber hygiene practice for yourself, starting with your mobile phones. Ensure that just as the first thing, that is the access to your mobile phones, whether you are using PIN or password, make sure it is secure. Make sure that you share it to a person that you know very well, that will not, of course, share it outside too. That's one. If you are using a mobile app, there is an option for you to use two-factor authentication, which means that you can, it's not only when you put in PIN that you're able to log in. You put in a PIN or and a password or something like that.
Okay.
Please enable it. Very good for you. Hmm. If you have detected that something has happened to you, an incident has happened, please, the first thing you need to do is change your passwords. Change your PINs. These are the very first things that you need. Before you even go and start complaining, if you have detected it, first things to do, change your password, change your PINs. All right? Then, of course, go and engage. Engage with the banks and of course, create... make sure they understand that this is very, very important to you. Then there is also the part about where you access. So most times if you're accessing a site, make sure it is secure.
Mm-hmm.
How do you know how the site is secure? Well, starting from just looking at the sites, at the top of the site, you see one green button which shows that is encrypted. Or that's the word they use, a certificate. Or if you want to see that, well, of course, maybe that is a good site. Of course, in recent times too, even those kind of sites that have green icons are still not even secure.
Okay.
Hmm.
So these are just the cybersecurity hygienes that people have to just put in place just to protect themselves.
Fantastic. Mm-hmm. Emmanuel, do we have a message?
Yes, we have this message from NG. She's from the Journalist Estate, and she's saying something it's cool because she said she had two experiences from it. She said, if you have wrongful deductions from your account and you raise a complaint to your bank. Now, it's an email, a mail complaint to your bank. And if you do not get answers within 48 hours, send a reminder on the mail trail, copy the CBN and the Consumer Protection Agency. Say, trust me, you will get answers within 6 hours and in another 48 hours, your funds will be credited back. This has been my experience twice with two different banks. Wow. So if it works for her, then it probably is something you could check.
So copy the CBN in the second follow-up mail. Copy mm-hmm. the CBN and copy the Consumer Protection Agency. Is that right?
As well, yes.
Nice one. I will try it. I definitely will. Goodness. Quickly, we have to go now. Give us your social media details so that, of course, Nigerians, because the phone lines are still buzzing and unfortunately, we cannot take any more calls. So leave your social media handles so that people can reach out to you if they have more questions and, you know, just would like to connect.
Yeah, so, I'm the only social media that I actually use is LinkedIn and WhatsApp. So
LinkedIn is fine. LinkedIn is fine. We have a lot of persons who are on LinkedIn.
Exactly. So just Goodness of Money is my name on LinkedIn. Once you just search for it, you'll see my big head and then, of course, cybersecurity consultant. Once you're able to connect, I will connect right back to you almost immediately.
Thank you so much.
Yes. And I am Yvonne Okhaifo on all social media platforms. Yvonne is spelled YVONNEOKHAIFOH. Yvonne Okhaifo on social media. Just find me, follow me, drop a question if you have any. Just, you know, that kind of thing. Emmanuel?
Yes, I'm Emmanuel Onwuka, ONWUKA. You can find me on Facebook, on LinkedIn, and on Instagram as Ima_Onwuka. Ima_Onwuka. It's been a great time here on Digital Life, you know, telling you about technology. And we're going to be bringing you more bumper packages, you know, next week.
That's right. Until we come your way again next week, it is goodbye and have a great week.